Welcome to the Inner and Outer Game Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing, world-renowned Miss Emily Latron. Emily, won't you take it from here?
Thank you so much, Tonya, and good afternoon, everyone. I know we all come from different time zones, so right now it is 1 p.m. here in Southern California, and I guess it's 3 p.m. where Tonya is, and wherever you are, I'm so excited and I'm so honored that you decided to join us today on the summit. And today I'm going to be talking about how to amplify your life and business using tracking and influence. So I hope everybody is ready, because we're going to go pretty fast on this. And so let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I was actually born in Vietnam. I was born during the late 60s. So when I grew up, what I saw on TV were bombings, dead body. There were people fleeing villages, and just a lot of propaganda. And when I was in 1975, the communists took over Vietnam. That's when the Vietnam War ended. And there were long lines. You know, we were getting in line to buy food. Music was censored. Old books were censored because it was quote unquote anti-communist. So that's the environment that I grew up in. And 1 year after the communists took over, I lost my mom due to cancer. So we lived in an extended family with my dad and my aunts, a couple of cousins. And in 1981, a couple of years after that, Vietnam was going to go to war with China in the north and Cambodia in the west. And so they were drafting all the young men to go to war. So I'm a girl. I wasn't going to be drafted. And my aunt decided to leave the country at that time. She was taking her kids and a couple of my cousins and my older brother, all guys, to leave the country to escape this draft. And my dad told me, you know, you're a girl. You're not going to be drafted, but I want you to go help your aunt because you're the oldest girl in the family. I was 13 at that time. And I listened to him. I left, and I never saw him again. So we were on this boat for 7 days. We had food the first 2 days. And then just sips of water the next 5 days. We came to a refugee camp in Malaysia. We lived there for several months. It just with makeshift shelter, with limited food supply. We got fresh water. We stand in line to get fresh water every day. And, you know, the main activities on there were just learning English and go swimming because we were on an island. I lived there for several months. And I was finally sponsored to come to the United States. So when I came to the United States, my main luggage were hope and faith. But then I didn't have anything else. And I started out, I had some challenges. You know, I used to go to school with a pocket dictionary, and I would try to look up the words while the teacher is teaching. Every night I would stay up, translated almost every word from English to Vietnamese so I could understand what was being taught to me. And then I was delivering newspaper, wake up early every morning at around 5:30, get the newspaper, fold it, put a rubber band around it, put it in the back, and then ride my bicycle to deliver it. I don't know if you remember those days when, you know, when we delivered newspaper, we'd throw the paper on the porch. I remember making $100 a month back then. This is in the mid-80s. And we used to live in a two-bedroom apartment. It was my aunt and 9 kids. So I used to sleep on the floor for several years because we didn't have enough bed for all of us to be in the bed. And I would drive old car. I remember specifically one time when I was driving to volunteer from my school, from UCLA to downtown LA. My car died in the middle of the road. I had enough money to have it towed to my apartment close to UCLA. And I took the car to the shop, leaving the car there, and I knew very well that I did not have any money to get it out. because my I wasn't going to get my grant and my scholarship check for another 2 weeks. And I ended up asking around all my friends and finally had somebody willing to lend me the money. And that's just how life was. So I was pretty driven. I finished my undergrad in 3 years. And then when I went to UCLA, I finished my dental degree and a master in oral biology in 4 years. When I graduated, I was very driven. I bought my first dental practice, then I bought the second one, then I bought the third one, and I got married. I got 3 beautiful kids. I have the freedom to, you know, have my own hours. So in the morning, I would drive the kids to school, drop them off, then I would go to work until about 2. Then I would take off and go pick them up. When they were younger, I took them to the babysitter. When they were older, I would take them to work with me. Then I would come back to work at around 4 and then work until 6. So that's my usual schedule. And then one day, my son, he was in second grade, he came to me and he said, "Mom, next Tuesday, I have a recorder performance and I want you to be there." And I was a little bit upset because, first of all, he gave me less than a week to reschedule my patients. And secondly, if I want to watch this show at 11:30, I would have to leave work at 1. So I would work from 9 to 11. I would drive to school by 11:30, sit there, watch the show for half an hour, and drive back to work. Probably work for another hour, then drive back to school, pick him up, take him to the babysitter, and then come back to work. So I went to my daughter. My daughter was 4 years older. And I told her, "Jennifer, I don't remember watching a performance for you in the middle of the day." And my daughter looked at me and she said, "Mom, I did have a recital, but you just weren't there." And that was like a slap in the face, because here I am thinking that I'm really successful. I have these practices. I'm able to do all these things. And I thought I was doing my best for the family, but yet I missed a special moment in my daughter's life. And that's when I made the decision that, you know, I'm going to spend my time, my effort, my money, invest to learn how to be really, really productive, really efficient, so I can do the most at work and I still have the time to spend with my family, my children, and never miss another special moment again in their lives. And that's what I would want to help other business owners and entrepreneurs, because, you know, life is short. Sometimes we're busy, we're doing all kind of work, and then we miss those special moments in our family. And you can't never get that time back. So, you know, I look back and I remember overcoming those challenges where I come to this country and I didn't have the family support. I didn't know the English language, so I would have to study every night, translating from English to Vietnamese to understand it. I overcame challenges, you know, the not having enough money, whether to support myself or to do anything besides, you know, learning and basic living. And then I struggled to be a mom and a business owner, you know. It's like taking care of the kids and then taking care of work and then taking care of school and taking care of work. And I want to ask you, listeners, a question. What is your boat story? Do you have any challenges that you're facing? Is it maybe it's a business is stagnant? Maybe you got a lot of financial challenges. Maybe you're in a difficult relationship. And what is your recorder story? Are you at that point, the turning point where you need to do something different, where you have to change, because doing the same thing will give us the same result and it's not going to take us anywhere? And so if you're ready to do something different, when you're at that turning point, I can really help you because I've been there. Now, I told you my refugee journey, my single goal just to survive, my struggle to learn the language. And now learning how to draw the correct boundaries between work, life, and passion, and living the American dream as a high-performance leader. So, you know, I'm going to share with you real quick some points about high performance, about tracking measures, and about influence. So high performance is the result of heightened and sustained levels of clarity, energy, courage, productivity, and influence. So real quick about clarity. Clarity is knowing who you are, what you are about, and what is important to you. Because if you don't know exactly who you are, if you don't know exactly what's important to you, it's very easy to get sucked into different projects when people ask you to help them, and then you go out there and you help them, and then the next thing you know, you're booked, you're busy, you're confused, and at the same time, you're not doing anything fulfilling for yourself. So I invite you to take a quick exercise to just close your eyes and think of three words that describe your ideal self. And these are three words that, you know, are the qualities that you want to be. It would describe your ideal self. You would love it when people describe you and they use these three words, and then just write them down. And you should really feel good when you look at those three words. This is what you're striving for. And you can also put those three words in your phone, put it on your cell phone, and set it as an alarm. So when the alarm goes off, when you go to turn this phone off, you're going to look at those three words. And they're going to remind you to stay grounded. They're going to remind you that that's the way you're supposed to be throughout your day. And so you will live your life with intention, with consistency, and you're really living into your full potential. Because if those three words are what describe your ideal self, imagine if you're being constantly reminded to live that way every single day of your life. And I also want to talk a little bit about productivity. You know, productivity is the power of intention. Stephen Covey said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So if you have too many things to do, you need to figure out what is the main thing. And to be productive, you need to know how to leverage. We're talking about leveraging time. We're talking about doing intentional study. If you're going to go online and look up something, give yourself 5 minutes and then get offline. Don't sit there and click on one link and then read a little bit and click on the next link. And then pretty soon what you have is a web browser blackout, right? And then in your day, you want to block time for a longer project. You want to put things on the calendar and stick to it. If things are not on the calendar, it's not going to get done. And I know everybody is busy. Everybody's doing many, many things, a lot of activities. I want you to make a list. I want you to write down all the activities that you do in a day for your work. So, for example, I'm also a dentist. So, you know, the things that I could do would be filling, cleaning, root canal, pulling teeth, denture, implant, you know. I could list all of that. It could be talking to the staff. It could be answering phone call from another specialist. It could be writing charts or notating in the computer, all of that. And then of all the activities that you do, I want you to check off the one that is actually income producing. Which one of them actually make money? Because those are the ones that you want to concentrate on. And then going one step beyond, which one of those do you absolutely have to do? Because sometimes there can be a list of activities, but maybe some of those you can delegate. The last time I did this exercise several years ago, I found out that I could delegate everything because I already have a group practice where I have general dentists and specialists working with me. So technically, I don't have to be in the office. I love to be in the office. I love being a dentist. It's one of the things I do. But if I have to, I could remove myself and the business still run. So I want you to evaluate your work like that. And so that way, you know exactly what you have to do. You're the only one that could do it. And you want to focus on the income producing activity. And the best way and the fastest way to learn how to delegate is to have a mentor. Because a mentor will tell you how to do it. A mentor will help you learn how to delegate. And the mentor will also advise you to inspect what you expect. And that brings me up to tracking. Tracking is knowing your numbers. So very simple thing. Let's say you're marketing. Let's say you say, okay, I'm doing marketing for my business. These are the tracking numbers that I will ask you. How many new clients do you have a month? How many of your clients are returning clients? How many of your new clients are referrals. So make sure you can answer those questions. Then I would ask you, how much does it cost to acquire a client? Because if you don't know how much it costs to acquire a client, you can't really decide how to spend your money to do marketing for your business. I'll give you an example. Let's say you say, oh, I get my client from networking event, right? My question to you would be, okay, so how much does it cost to get that client from that networking event? When you factor in that cost, I need you to factor in the time you spent. So how much time did it take you to drive there and come back? How much time did you actually stay there? Were there costs associated with the event? Okay, so sometimes people would tell me, oh, I will do that event. It's a free event. It's a free meetup. It's a free meetup, but it took 3 hours, right? It maybe it take an hour to go there and come back, and then you're there for 2 hours or an hour and a half. So how much is 2 or 3 hours worth? Because it cannot be just because you did not pay that it didn't cost you anything. So those are some of the tracking numbers. And I need you to write down those things, because unless you know how much it costs for you to acquire a client, sometimes you may kind of blindly spend money on getting a client in one particular way and not spending money on another way that actually when you track, you will see that one is more profitable than another. I share this with in my event all the time. You know, what I do every year is I rent out an entire movie theater and I invite my patients to come and watch a movie. And we're actually going to be watching it this coming Saturday on May 27th. We're going to watch the opening. We're going to have a private screening of Pirates of the Caribbean, right, which is the fifth or sixth one, I don't remember. But I'm going to rent out the entire movie theater, and then I'm going to give all the patients popcorn and a drink. And they can invite two friends. Okay, so the cost of that is about $4,000. So if I ask somebody, hey, let's spend $4,000 to get a client, I mean, to market your business, they may say, hey, that sounds like a lot of money for 3 hours, you know, in the movie theater. Well, but here's the thing. Each one of my patients is potentially $2,000, right? So if I spend $4,000, what I'm expecting is to get at least two patients from that particular event. And I've been doing this, I think this is going to be the fourth year, maybe more. But every year I make my money back because I would get at least two or three new patients from that event. Now, it's not going to be easy to say I want to spend $4,000 if I didn't know the number that each new patient could be, quote, worth $2,000. So see, when you do the math and you know those numbers, it's easy for you to make a decision and say, this is how much I'm going to spend to acquire a new client. And if you have more questions about that, you know, you can always shoot me an email. I'll give you the contact information later. But that's the thinking that I need you to do. It's not about, okay, how much do I have to spend for this month? Okay, $500. Let's see what I can do with the $500. It's more how many new clients do I want a month? How much does it cost to get a new client? And so if it costs X and I want to get 10 clients, I need to spend 10X. If I spend 3X, the chance of me getting 10 clients is very slim. It's just mathematics, right? When we're doing this tracking, take the emotion out. You're only looking at the numbers and the plus and the minus signs, and just do the calculation and take out the emotion, right? So next I want to talk about influence. How do we become influential in our life, whether it's personal life or in business? For me, influence has a lot to do with being a role model. So you can start out being a role model for your kids or your family, your coworkers, the people around you, right? One other way to become influential is to write a book. So I'm an author of several books. The other way to have influence is to be featured in media. So I've been featured in Dental Town magazine, which is the largest international publication for dentists. I've been featured on that twice. One was for my story from refugee to Renaissance woman, my story of coming to the United States and accomplish what I have done. And the other one was for my charity, for my foundation, helping veterans and families of disadvantaged background. And then I've been featured in international magazine called Global Woman Magazine. It's actually based in London. And when you walk into my office, you're going to walk down a hallway with a lot of certificates, right? All the classes, continuing education courses that I've taken. What that does is when a patient walks in, they would think that I'm pretty smart, right? And what it is it just the continuing education that I'm required to take anyway as a professional. But when I put it up there in a place that is very intentional, as a patient walk into the office, they already get that feeling that they're in the right place, that they're in the hands of somebody who's capable. And another way to have influence is to sponsor and host events. So I just mentioned to you that I do the movie night where I invite my patients. I also do, for Valentine's, I do the Appreciation Day. You are the heart of my practice. And I would have cupcakes and cookies in the office for the patients to come in because it's Valentine's Day, right? Gotta eat sweets, even though it's job security. And I also go on dental mission and be part of that. And how do I influence my team? I use tools and strategies. So one of the tests I use is the COBE test, where I'm going to have my staff take the test. And so I know what is their mode of operation, and I emphasize on their strength, and I minimize their weakness. So play to their strength. One other way to have influence is to put yourself in a place where there are influencers and to learn from them. So one of the organizations that I belong to is called CEO Space. It's an international organization. They hold business forums 5 times a year, currently held in Orlando. I've been there. My kids have been there 2 times. We're going to be going again this August. When we go there, we are surrounded by mentors, by influencers, speakers, coaches, and we are there to collaborate, cooperate, mastermind, and all learn and grow together. But when you are in the presence of influencers, you learn how to get influence. You know the right thing to say. You know the right thing to do. And that's the fastest way to learn. And you may ask, you know what, Emily, why are we doing all this? Why do we need to track stuff? Why do we have to be productive? Why do we have to have influence? Well, if you want to be a high-performance leader and you can be productive, so you can do the most with the least amount of time, you can be influential, you can create impact. You can create local community impact. Like for me, I do a free dentistry day every month for veterans and families of disadvantaged background. I participate, like I said, in Dental Mission, and that's giving a global impact because at the end of the day, that's what you want to do. That's what you want people to remember you, right? You don't want them to remember you by a title. You want them to remember you as somebody who have spent the time and contribute to life and be a giver, not a taker. Because you absolutely don't want to have any regrets at the end of your life. You want to live your life being the best version of yourself. So if any of this is a little bit intriguing, you're interested in this, you want to talk more about this, I invite you to join me in high performance coaching. First, actually, I have a gift. You can text the word FAST, F-A-S-T, to 21777. Again, text the word FAST to 21777. You're going to get a download of my ebook. I'm going to share my story and my business strategies about some of these strategies that I have just discussed right now. That's one thing that you can do. You can also get one of my online course. And what I'll do is I'll ask Tonya to post that on the page. And my online course is a one-day event that I have recorded for high performance. It's called Action to Wins. The normal price is $197. And for on this special call, you can get that course for $97 with 2 bonuses. One is a ticket to my live event, which is coming up on July 15, 16 in Costa Mesa, California. The value of that ticket is $9.97. You're going to get that as a bonus for free. And then the second one, you get a 60-minute coaching call with me. We're going to talk about your life, your business, how to amplify your life using high-performance strategies and how to do business marketing. The value of that call is $500. So the total value is $16.94. And because you're here on this call, it's only going to be $97. And I will ask Tonya to post a link on that, so you can go ahead and get that from me. You can text FAST to 21777 and download that ebook. And I'd like to say thank you very much, Tonya, for setting up this summit, for giving us a platform to share our passion, our ideas, to help everybody take their life and business to the next level. And I hope everybody have a great afternoon, a great long weekend ahead. I don't know about you. I'll be watching Pirates of the Caribbean. And I wish you the best success in everything you do, and may the floss be with you.